You remember who that was done by? There we go. Yeah. Good piece. You know, we're starting our series, Vibrations, and we're going to explore the amazing work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to talk about the vital role that the Holy Spirit plays in our life and look at some of the vibrations that God, through the Holy Spirit, provides to each and every one of us as followers. You know, those vibrations that bring encouragement and guidance, provide caution and comfort, and they can empower us. And today, specifically, we're going to talk about those vibrations, those signs that God provides to guide us in life. And I know this can be complicated because there are a lot of signs vying for our attention. You know, signs that are posted by culture, by friends, by family, by social media. I mean, signs, everywhere signs. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Here's the important thing. Can't you read the sign? I mean, some signs are small. They're understated. And while some of them are big and bold, some are comforting, others, they are kind of disturbing. Some of them are congruent, and yet others are very conflicting. You know, signs everywhere, signs. And if you attempt to follow every sign, you will live confused and conflicted. You'll live with a lot of anxiety, which isn't surprising. We're this anxious, prone society. And you live with uncertainty in your life. And the fact is, you'll always be second-guessing yourself because the signs are plentiful and they're powerful. And the signs that you read and follow will determine who you become in life. Which raises a couple very critical questions. Can you read the signs? And what signs are you following? You know, the night before Jesus' death, he was with the disciples. These were his closest friends. And he's telling them that he's preparing to leave, that he's going to return to heaven. And the disciples are upset. I mean, they're grieving and concerned. And so Jesus tries to encourage them and comfort them. And he tells them this. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads in all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you and now later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. The disciples, they've been with Jesus for 3 years now. I mean, 3 years of companionship, 3 years of Jesus coaching them and teaching them. I mean, 3 years of friendship. Where they just laughed and learned and were growing together. 3 years they were traveling, you know, doing things together, fishing and eating, and they were very, very, very close. And when you read the account, the disciples are totally confused what Jesus is talking about. They didn't understand what he was pointing to. You know, it's almost like advocate. What's he mean by advocate? What's that? I mean, how could that be better than being with Jesus and spending time with Jesus? And so it was very confusing to them. And I'm assuming that they really didn't put it together until after Jesus' death and his resurrection and his ascension, that then they began to understand what Jesus was talking about. You know, it was that day of Pentecost when the church was born that the disciples finally I would say, connected the dots of what Jesus was directing them toward. They realized he was what he was talking about, that he was leaving so that the Holy Spirit could come, so that the Holy Spirit could live in them as Christ followers. And so I just want to kind of walk us through some things this morning. So how does God, through the Holy Spirit, guide us? It's a good question. You know, God wants to guide us through those whispers, you know, those vibrations, those signs that give us direction. You know, Paul writes this, he says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Pretty simple. I mean, it's pretty clear. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We talk about this often. You know, they talk about leadings, you know, those nudges, those promptings. They're all a part of God showing us his will for our lives. Now, early in my Christian walk, and I'm be honest with you here, I always am, but, you know, I realize as I say that. But there were two major times that I would look for signs from God. One, when I was in trouble. Then I really wanted God to give me a sign. I wanted him to guide me through it, to get me through the issue, the problem, or whatever. And the other was when I had really big decisions to make. I mean, there's nothing like a crisis or a big decision to draw you closer to God. And I think that's very common for most Christ followers. I mean, this is where we start, isn't it? Just plugging in from time to time. But being led by God's Holy Spirit, you know, recognizing those vibrations, those signs, is much, much bigger than that. In fact, I've come to realize that it's kind of a day in, day out, moment by moment thing. You know, it's a relationship with God where God speaks into our lives, and he does that through the Holy Spirit. I believe it's core, it's critical to our lives in Christ. God's more concerned about who you are than what you do or where you go. There's a big difference here between being and doing. I mean, who are you? God wants you to love him more than the answers he provides. God doesn't want you to just use him as kind of a GPS in life. Those signs, those vibrations, those leadings are not so much about finding an answer as they are following his voice, paying attention to what God wants. God has a plan for your life. God has got a better view than you've got. Because God can see everything beginning to end, past, present, and future. God's got that kind of perspective. And so God is always working in your life. And we've talked a lot about that the last few weeks. But he's always working. Even when it's dark, even when things don't make sense, even when you don't understand why you are where you are, God is with you and God is for you. God wants to lead you. And one of the ways he does it is through those vibrations of the Holy Spirit, through the signs where he nudges you once in a while. And let me say something that I believe is very, very core. Too many Christ followers today are waiting for God to guide them into something spectacular, fantastic, but not very many are really interested in being faithful in the seemingly mundane of life. So how does this whole thing work? Well, I want to look at this is a point in Paul's life. It's a story found in the book of Luke, and it's told by Luke in the book of Acts. And the story in and of itself, not especially spectacular, all right? But as it is important as part of Paul's life, and ultimately would lead him to something very spectacular. You know, Paul was aware of the Holy Spirit. He was aware of those leadings. He was traveling extensively at this point. He's preparing to board a ship. He's leaving Ephesus. Some friends and the leaders, they're gathered at the pier. They're there to give a heartfelt goodbye to Paul. And he's given him some final words. And he says this, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship are facing me." Paul's reading the signs. He's dealing with a lot of emotions. I believe he had some real fears. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't at this point. But if you read the book of Acts, the entire thing, this isn't the first prompting from the Holy Spirit on this matter. The Holy Spirit has prompted Paul numerous times about what's ahead. Paul felt those vibrations. Paul understood what was going on to a high degree. If you read the previous chapter, he's very in tune. He was in Asia, and when the Holy Spirit prompted him to go to Jerusalem, he's on his way to actually Macedonia at a point, and then Arcadia, and he just keeps moving forward to get to Jerusalem. Paul could see the signs. He's paying attention. He says, "However, I considered my life worth nothing to me. My only aim, get this, is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." God has a purpose in his heart for Paul. And although Paul had a lot of voices, there were people advising him, God's purpose was Paul's aim. God's purpose was his mission. And so he's heading to Jerusalem. Friends, have you ever had what you thought was a leading from God, but at the same time, other voices were kind of pushing against it? You know, making you second guess. I mean, signs. Everywhere signs, and you can get so confused. If you can't read the signs, if you can't identify them and sort out those voices that get in your head from the voice of the Holy Spirit, it gets very, very confusing. I've shared this numerous times, but it's for me very defining. You know, 20 years ago, very rough season for me in ministry. And I was dealing with a lot of dissatisfaction. I mean, I had a really restless spirit. And all these things were kind of converging. A lot of different fronts. A lot of noise around me. And it was confusing. And so what I started doing was very systematically reducing the noise and the static, and I was removing voices from my life. And I was trying to listen to what was going on inside, kind of isolate the Holy Spirit's voice or that nudge, you know, that leading. And the Holy Spirit just started pressing me. I mean, the leadings, friends, were very, very strong. They were intense. And it was just like, okay, it's time. I have no idea what's ahead, but I need to shift gears. And that meant me leaving security. It meant me walking away vocationally and financially. I mean, multiple fronts. I could go on and on. But then I started hearing new voices. I had colleagues and friends calling me and going, Damon, don't shift gears. Take it safe. Do the easy thing. You know, and so those what if, you ever get the what if voices? You know, what if they started getting really loud? But I just kept focusing on what God was saying through the Holy Spirit. I did not know the future. Didn't even know where it was heading. But I've always known what obedience to God looks like. And so I just shifted gears. Let go of the security, just trusted God, trusted the Holy Spirit, had a plan. It was echoing in my life. What I didn't know was it was echoing in some other people's lives. And over the next few months, and it was a very short time, but long and short, Faith Fellowship was born out of that. And I've often wondered, what if I hadn't been listening? I would have missed all that. I wonder, what if some of the other people that God was speaking to, if they hadn't been listening, I mean, we wouldn't have come together. Friends, there is no surefire way to really look at the weighty things of life, the decisions of life, and go, oh, this is how you do it, okay? But I think there are four components that we always need to look at when we feel like we're getting nudged by God. And the first is, we got Scripture, the Bible. The Holy Spirit will never, ever nudge you or lead you to do something that contradicts God's word. Never, never, all right? We got the counsel of the Holy Spirit, those vibrations, those leadings, those nudgings, those things where you go, oh, I feel like, you know it's not you, but it's like, okay, I keep getting pressed here. Those are things providing guidance. We got the counsel of mature Christians in our life, people that love us and know us and will be honest with us. And then you got the converging of circumstances. Now, here's the problem. Sometimes there's no congruency with the four things that we just talked about looking at. In fact, sometimes there are contradictions. And then you go, well, now what do you do? So how do you know if something's a leading from the Holy Spirit or just something of your own desire? Because that gets complicated. I mean, as you follow this story with Paul faces some contradictions along the way. He left his friends in Ephesus. He sails to several cities in Tyre. And Scripture says this, we sought out the disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on. Paul's staying with some other Christians. He's there in Tyre. He's there for 7 days. It was a time, I'm sure, of encouragement and fellowship. But get this, some of the people there, some of the Christians, they're moved by the same Holy Spirit, and they urge Paul, they go, don't go. They're concerned about what's going to happen to him. And just think about that. He's compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem. These followers are saying, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit's warning you don't go, Paul. You know, they're urging him, don't go. I don't think this is a good idea. And initially, when I read the story, I'm like, what is up with this? This is confusing. I mean, what will Paul do in the midst of that? Well, Paul openly shares that he understands going to Jerusalem means suffering and prison. He knows that. Again, his friends in Tyrea, they're like, same prompting, they interpret it different. They interpret it that it's a warning and for Paul not to go. I want you to listen really carefully here. Oftentimes, people who love us filter things through a different perspective, and that is our safety. In fact, I think most people would go, it's difficult to believe that the Holy Spirit would guide someone we love, to face trials, difficulties, and problems. Well, that's a wrong assumption. The Holy Spirit, this idea that the only time the Holy Spirit leads us is leading us toward peaceful, toward the easy. Convergence of circumstances, important. Voices of mature Christians, important. But they are not the deciding factor. Deciding factor is discerning the voice of God. You know, in spite of the risk, Paul, he's pursuing the Holy Spirit's direction. He felt God's Spirit was leading him to Jerusalem. And despite his friend's urging, he continues on his journey. You know, Paul travels to Caesarea. He's staying in the home of Philip. Now, Philip had a daughter, Agabus. She had the gift of prophecy where she could see the future or things would happen, and she understood what was going to be ahead. And so she receives this message about Paul. The Holy Spirit speaks to her, so she goes to her father, and she shares it with her father, what the Holy Spirit had said to her. And Philip, and instead of just sharing the message, I find it humorous, he kind of does like a drama for her. Scripture says this, he came over, took Paul's belt, and bound his own feet and hands with it. Then he said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Can you imagine this moment? I mean, what if you had been Paul? What if you had been Paul's friend? There's a tug of war going on here. I mean, it's a dilemma. Everyone in Tyrea had urged Paul not to go. Now everybody in Caesarea is begging him not to go to Jerusalem. I mean, what are you going to do? It's not a different guidance. It's a different interpretation. It's a different perspective. For Paul, it becomes confirmation that he's on the right track. For his friends, it raised concern. And I'll say this, this is the kind of love we're to have for one another, where we're trying to watch out for one another, pay attention. But Paul must have been kind of reeling from all this. He must have been torn. You know, it's not like he's looking forward to suffering, going to prison or jail. But Paul is determined he will follow the Holy Spirit no matter what. Scripture says, then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? You know, that Greek word breaking there means to like crush things together. And I think we lose the implication, but the implication is that they're beginning to crush the guidance from the Holy Spirit in Paul's life. Paul's like, don't do this. This is hard enough. I know what's ahead. And then he like musters up the strength and just restates. He goes, I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, let the Lord's will be done. What do you do when there's this contradiction? You know, you feel like God's calling you one direction, but everything else is going, no, go this direction. Again, a few cautions. Make sure you're clear about what Scripture says. Again, God will never, ever, ever contradict His word. And when you're assessing the circumstances, you got to be careful. Because some people see signs everywhere. You know, can't find a parking spot at church. Well, guess God doesn't want me to go to church today. But can't sell the house immediately. Well, I guess we're not supposed to move. Or, you know, here's the thing. Maybe you're supposed to. Maybe you're not supposed to question it. I don't know. What I'm saying is you've got to be careful. And then another caution is, remember, we interpret things differently from our perspective. You know, you may have a friend who cares about you, and they go, well, this is easy. The Holy Spirit's been telling me this is what you should do. Be very careful of that. And this is just my best advice. Seek God. Get all the other noise out of your head. And the Holy Spirit will make things very, very clear. And do not assume, because something requires suffering, pain, or discomfort, do not assume that is not the direction God wants you to go. Sometimes it's where God leads us. You know, when factors seem to contradict, again, my best advice, slow down. Focus in on what God's saying. Because when God wants you to understand something or do something or go a particular direction, what happens is those leadings, those promptings, those vibrations, whatever word you want to use, they get louder and louder and stronger in your life. And here's what's so amazing to me, being led by the Holy Spirit in life, is as we mature, as we pay attention to those leadings, we begin to think and behave more and more like Jesus Christ. It's why Paul would later write this. He says, God has shown us these things to us through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who looks into all things, even the secrets of God, and shows them to us. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we can actually know God's thoughts on something. You know, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, you start feeling in sync, and it syncs up with God's heart, God's thoughts, God's ways. And over time, what happens is God begins to inform you, moment by moment, God guiding you. Now, God gives latitude here. We're all made uniquely. We all have freedom. We are not brainless, right? I remember, this is several years ago, but my grandson, Ethan, he was maybe 8 or 9 years old at the time, and we were out at Walmart, we're in line at the checkout, and there's a family in front of us, and they had a toddler, And her parents were trying to keep her really close, and she wanted to explore. And she like picked up a leaf off the floor, and her mom's like, don't touch that, you know. She picked up a wrapper, don't touch that, and picked up a penny. I could go for a while, you know, and it was, don't touch that, don't touch that. She grabbed the cart, and they're like, don't do that, you know. She took a few steps away. Don't. She's a toddler. But there came a point where it seemed like she could not obey anything she was being told. And her mom finally just snatched her up. And I get we're in this era where parents feel like they can't take their eyes off their kids for 2 seconds. But friends, it can easily devolve into constant instruction in their life. And at some point, it's not helpful. Ethan and I are walking to the car afterwards. He's like, Grandpa, that little girl was so cute, you know. He goes, I hope when she's older, she's allowed to do some things she wants to. And he's like, not bad things, Grandpa, just things that she would like to do, because I don't think she wants to be a robot. I thought it was funny. But I got it. I got his point. I got the parents' point. That's kind of how the Holy Spirit works. See, early in your Christian walk, you might not easily recognize God's voice, or you may hear it and push back or ignore it. La, 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 I don't want to hear that. But as you mature, you start slowing down a little bit, listening a little more intently. You may even experiment a little bit and get it wrong once in a while. But over time, you'll come to know the Holy Spirit's voice. You'll recognize it more readily. Here's my concern. Some of you are missing out on the Holy Spirit's guidance. I get how it happens. I mean, for some, maybe you decided at some point that, well, that's for other people, not me. You know, maybe you don't believe that God could really give you guidance in your life. You know, you've just kind of abandoned that idea. But friends, you're so wrong. I mean, God desires a relationship with you where the Holy Spirit can work in your life, where those whispers, those leadings, those whatever you want to call it, are actually guiding you, where you're walking in the Spirit moment by moment, all the time, ordinary days, extraordinary days, where God's connecting with you and guiding you and leading you. God wants to be more than someone who just answers your questions. God longs to be like a coach, you know, guiding you. Not just someone that you turn to when you're in trouble or you just can't figure it out. This is my question. Do you really want to hear what God has to say to you? Or are you just content to kind of check in occasionally, especially when you need something? That's a huge difference between those two. You know, the psalmist says, teach me to do your will, for you're my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on what? Firm footing. Anybody need that in your life? Friends, that's a great prayer to pray. Because as you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, the longer you do it, the better you get at it. And as you grow, you recognize those leadings more readily. And get this, they actually keep you from veering off course so bad. Isaiah writes this. He says, your ears will hear sweet words behind you. Go this way. There's your path. This is how you should go. Whatever you must decide, whether you turn to the right or the left, it's saying God will guide you there. And so my question is, are you open to those kind of leadings? Are you open to the Holy Spirit guiding you today? Not just in the tough times when you're in a jam, but every moment of every day, everywhere you go, allowing God to guide you. And we're going to talk more about this next week, kind of stack things up a little bit. But my prayer is that you open yourself up to that. Because God really does have a plan. He wants to guide you. Let's pray together. Our holy God, God, I pray that every person here, they would just sense your calling. Recognize your voice. God, help us to not shrug it off or push it away. Help us clear the noise and hear you. God, I pray that we'd grow in that. And that when we experience those leadings, we'd follow in obedience. God, give us the strength to do that. Help us to hear you. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. God's people said, you know, today we have some people that the Holy Spirit's been calling them. They've heard that call, and they're taking a step of faith in obedience. They're going to be baptized. And so I'd ask all of you that are taking that step or the parents of some of the young ones that are taking that step to go now, prepare yourself for baptism. And we're going to stand, we're going to worship together. After the song, I would ask you to meet out front of the church, and we'll continue the service. And if you haven't been here when we've been doing this, we're out there for 10 minutes. Come celebrate with us. So let's stand, let's worship together.